Hello, and welcome back to the Pleasurable Money Podcast. I am your host, Megan, and I am so happy to have you here. Today, we're going to talk about luxury, and we're going to explore how indulging in high-end experiences and goods can be a transformative and actually healthy aspect of our financial life. I want to redefine luxury here with you today, not just as an expense, but as an integral part of a balanced diet. No, I'm kidding. A balanced, pleasurable money relationship. So in 2023, despite global economic uncertainties, the luxury market was actually projected to reach a staggering 1.5 trillion euros or $1.62 trillion, which would mark a new record and showcased an 8 to 10% growth over the previous year. And that surge was driven by a strong consumer demand for luxury experiences, which signaled not just resilience, but a profound evolution in how luxury is perceived and consumed. And I can see that in the world as far as prioritizing experiences and services that are considered to be luxury. And I can see it in the way that and even on TikTok and Instagram and stuff like that, we are prioritizing things that actually make us feel good in a time where so much is making us feel awful. Yeah, so this was a profound evolution in how luxury is perceived and consumed. I think there's a lot of people at every economic level that are consuming and experiencing luxury more and more these days. As someone who teaches about pleasure and eros in relation to money, I wanted to speak on this topic and give you some ways to elevate the act of spending to an art form that enriches our lives instead of just pads it with unnecessary things and consumables. Because I know that a lot of our codes when it comes to money, a lot of our values out for my audience has to do with sustainability and recycling and the long-term effect we have on this earth. And this evolution that I was speaking about in how luxury is perceived and consumed, it's about more than splurging. It's about integrating thoughtful quality investments into your lifestyle that actually mirror your values and your aspirations. It's about how these choices can lead to a healthier relationship with money, where financial decisions actually bring you joy and foster long-term well-being. So why is this shift important? Well, because transforming your money mindset to embrace luxury responsibly can lead to more than just material satisfaction. It can enhance your sense of self and deepen your enjoyment of life. It can even inspire a more creative and empowered approach to personal finance. So I'm going to go over 10 key mindset shifts and actionable steps that you can take to not only enjoy luxury, but to make it purposeful and a part of your financial strategy. You know, whether you're looking to like invest in high quality pieces, like designer handbags or fashion, or you're wanting to find more joy in your financial journey, just as a stepping stone to enjoying luxury, then I really think today's episode is going to be beneficial for sure. So let's talk a little bit more about why this is an important topic. The first reason is because it's going to promote a healthier relationship with your money, which is what I am all about. Y'all know, we talk about money relationship on this podcast. We talk about money relationship on my Instagram, on my TikTok. By the way, if y'all aren't following me, please do. I'm at sacrednumbers.co on Instagram and at sacrednumbers.co on TikTok. So integrating luxury spending into your financial life in a balanced way is going to help heal your relationship with money, because it shifts the focus from mere like, acquiring and collecting things to actual thoughtful investment in quality and value, and will actually reduce impulsive purchases and give you more confidence in your spending abilities, your capability to spend intentionally. We're gonna consciously choose where and how to spend on luxury so that you're inviting pleasure into the routine of money management. And this approach is not only going to make financial decisions more enjoyable, but it's also going to align your spending with personal joy and fulfillment. It's not going to be robotic. It's not going to be boring and mundane. Your spending is going to be fulfilling and exciting and deeply nourishing. I really want us to be able to focus on this theme of experiential purchases and things that make us feel yummy, even amid global economic fluctuations. So let's dive in. We're going to talk about, like I said, 10 key mindset shifts or actions that you can take in order to integrate a luxury money mindset into your financial strategy. So the first, number one, is embracing quality over quantity. So instead of accumulating many, many items, we're going to shift our focus to choosing fewer, higher quality pieces that offer longevity and a timeless appeal. The surge in personal luxury goods to $362 billion by 2023 underscores a strong consumer preference for high quality items. And we'll get into like why high quality pieces are wise to invest in. And I also wanted to give the girlies who are like into luxury pieces, fashion, cars, boats, like all of these things that can be considered luxury purchases that may accumulate value over time instead of depreciate. Like when I'm talking about cars, I'm specifically speaking of like vintage cars and things of that nature. Embracing quality over quantity is going to be that intentional piece that might be missing from your financial strategy, so that you can slow down. It's all about slowing down the purchasing pace. I know that things like shops like Temu and even TikTok Shop can really tempt us and trick us into fast, like incredibly quick spending, like $11 here, $10 there, $7 here. Like, I've just bought something off a TikTok shop for the first time last night. And my thought process literally was, okay, it's like $7. If it doesn't work, I've only wasted $7. And that's okay for some things. If you are intentionally purchasing something and you have a use for this thing, but getting into that mindset of it's only $7, it's only $11, it's only $15, like that starts to add up, and we start accumulating things that don't work, that are crappily made, that are fast fashion, that are going to fall apart within days of using them for the first time. Y'all, I'm sorry, my allergies. I took an allergy pill, so we'll see how that goes. Hopefully it kicks in soon. Okay, number two, we're gonna understand the value of resale, right? So luxury items last so much longer because they are created with so much more intention, better quality fabrics. I was going to say ingredients, better quality ingredients, better quality, the things that go into creating the item, the bag, the fur. Like I've got some vintage furs that my grandmother gave me that are, I don't know how much they're worth right now, but probably a lot. So understanding the value of resale is important because things like big ticket items like watches and handbags and furs and designer pieces like different types of clothing, like bespoke clothing and stuff like that, can maintain or even increase their value over the years. So here's a statistic for you. The secondhand luxury market actually soared to $33 billion in 2021 because people were wanting to buy secondhand. There's a big focus on reduce, reuse, recycle right now. We're trying to make a lower impact on the environment. So sending those luxury items back into the world to be purchased again, to be given a second life, to be given a second home is really important, and is also, you can see it in the economy, that it is something that is useful, wise, and important to a lot of people in the world right now. So number three, we're going to move on to investing in personal development. So luxury spending as part of a broader personal growth and lifestyle enhancement plan is going to be super fulfilling to your financial strategy, because if you allocate a part of your luxury spending to experiences that enhance your personal growth, like exclusive seminars or luxury retreats, your life is going to feel more full than if you were just filling it with things and goods. And I really want to focus on like a balance of both loving beautiful things and also loving experiences that are going to transform you as a person, help you meet new people, challenge you to get out of your comfort zone, and create networking opportunities, like learning opportunities, like to go to seminars or conferences, and even retreats that are going to deepen your understanding of yourself. So leading into that is number four, we're going to align luxury with our personal values. So if you understand what your personal values are, which we have talked about on this podcast before, your true authentic money codes, which is what Lacey Phillips calls it from To Be Magnetic. She calls it your true authentic money codes, but you can basically just think of them as your values. What are the key categories in your life that are going to fulfill you if you spend all of your money on them? Like if you didn't spend a dime on anything else, what would be your top priority list? Mine include luxury is definitely one of them, travel, supporting small local businesses, and a lot of my clients, a lot of my audience, they have very similar categories, values as I do, but some other ones of yours might be like ecological causes, nature, and making a difference with forests and your local community and reproductive rights or convenience. Purchasing DoorDash and Uber Eats is a part of your authentic code because you value convenience. That's a huge one for a lot of people. So if we are going to align luxury with our personal values, purchasing luxury goods and from brands that align with your ethical and sustainability values is going to further fulfill that part of you that's like, I want to make an impact on the world, or I want to make less of an impact on the world with my carbon footprint, and really doing the research to find those luxury brands that are going to create a world that you want to see. So here's a statistic. Consumers are increasingly favoring brands that demonstrate sustainability and ethical practices, and you can find most brands that is important to will have a sustainability ethical practices page on their website where you can read about how they give back and how they pay their workers and how they make sure that they are working in good conditions and all of that. And sometimes those pages are misleading. So if anything, you know, sets off that little intuition monitor where you're like, something doesn't seem right, please do further research. I mean, dive deeper. Figure out what these brands are known for, because you are going to be spending massive amounts of money with these brands, or, you know, massive amounts of money for you, even if it's like a pair of jeans for $150. That is a lot for some people. I've purchased several pairs of jeans for my husband from a brand that we love that are about $150 per pair, but he wears the shit out of them. He wears them every single day. They look good on him. They fit him perfectly and they hold up. So, you know, they're stylish. So it makes him look put together while still being utility, like useful. Okay, moving on to number five, we've got adopting a global perspective. So considering how global trends can actually impact local luxury markets and preferences. So in 2023, we see a luxury market that is increasingly shaped by a blend of global trends and local realities, creating a rich tapestry of consumer behavior that is as diverse as it is dynamic. And I think this really comes from the globalism of TikTok and social media, because economic shifts and their local impact can be felt and seen across the world. Like, for instance, while Europe may experience modest growth, Asia, particularly China, continues to see rapid expansion in luxury spending. So these economic conditions affect local buying power and consumer confidence. So a country that is focusing on luxury spending will be more confident in their economy than those who are not. Another way of saying that is in regions that are experiencing growth, consumers might lead more towards ostentatious displays of wealth, whereas in areas with economic slowdowns, the luxury spending might be more discreet. So talking again about sustainability, because we have increased the importance of sustainability, these are influencing global brands across the world. And consumers are demanding from them to adapt their offerings to something to be more sustainable. And these global shifts can locally vary significantly. So that's just a little bit about how our global purchases can affect our localism, which localism is a word I just learned today. There's also the impact of global politics and policies and the role in tailoring experiences and the resurgence of localism amidst globalism, which all of which I can go deeper into if you would like in another podcast episode, but we're not going to talk about it today because I want to stick to our original 10 points here. So that was number five. Let's quickly do a recap. So number one was embracing quality over quantity, shifting our focus from accumulating many items to choosing fewer, higher quality pieces. Number two was understanding the value of resale. So many luxury items, especially big ticket ones like watches and handbags, can maintain or even increase in value over the years. And the secondhand luxury market has soared to $33 billion in 2021. Number three was investing in personal development. So seeing luxury spending as a part of a broader personal growth and lifestyle enhancement plan. It is a means to getting to be the type of person you desire to be, right? Investing in luxury experiences to develop yourself personally, which I know is one of the biggest value for a lot of business owners, because we do so much personal development and business development every single day. I think this is going to really resonate with a lot of you that are entrepreneurs. Number four was aligning your luxury with your personal values, finding brands that align with your ethical and sustainability values. And number five was adopting a global perspective. So we're going to consider how global trends can actually impact local luxury markets and preferences. And I think that's just something to be aware of and something that I've included because it's just important to know, to realize the impact that we have on the rest of the world, even if our focus is only local. Number six is leveraging technology, which is a huge privilege that we have these days that can enhance luxury spending and the luxury buying experience, is by finding brands and websites that really focus on the online experience that you have with their brands. Number seven, which we've talked about quite a bit already, is to focus on experiential luxury. So experiences are seeing a robust recovery, with spending reaching historic heights over the last few years, even though the economy has been tumultuous, to say the least. So shifting spending towards luxury experiences, like I said before, is going to really round out your financial experience with life, your enjoyment of life. And I mean, I think you guys can understand why luxury experiences are valuable, right? Number eight is practicing mindful spending. So being intentional with luxury purchases, ensuring they truly bring joy and add value to your life. So if you need to consider the item's long-term place in your lifestyle before you buy, if you need to make a list, like keep a running list of some of the things that might be a little bit out of your budget right now that you'd like to save for, I do that. I have a list right now of about five or six things that I'm like, I am not purchasing these right now, but in the future I will, because they are important to me and they are luxury items. And my gauge of luxury right now in this moment is anything over about, I don't know, $350. Like I've got a red light mask that I want to buy that's about $450. I've got the laser hair removal thingamajigs that I think are a few hundred dollars. You know, just a few different things like that, that I'm beauty type stuff that I am saving up for at the moment that will come to fruition in the future. And it's one of those things that I get to build anticipation for. I get to tease myself a little bit. And luxury spending really brings that aspect of delayed gratification, which is so fun, because I think we are, you know, we're so used to instant gratification that like delayed gratification can be so like sensually annoying, if that even makes sense. Like sensually annoying, like, oh my God, like, you know, when someone that you're like trying to date is like being so annoying, but you find it so attractive. It's just like, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. So yeah, if you need to take a beat, make a list, sit on it for a month or two or six before you buy, to really make sure that the item is going to fulfill what you want it to fulfill in your life, then that's what you get to do. Number nine is cultivating a network of like-minded peers. So engaging with communities that appreciate and understand the nuances of luxury living, people who love the same brands as you, people who support and stan the same brands as you, is going to be so supportive and fulfilling for this part of your journey, because you will have built-in expanders for people who are saving up for these purchases, for people who truly believe in the impact that they're leaving, the mission of these brands. So it's a community of people that is going to support you as someone who wants to support your values, the things that you are lifting up in your life right now. And luxury living, you know, a lot of people don't get it. A lot of people do not understand why people spend money on certain things. And not that you need to justify yourself to anyone. And I think that's the point here, is that if you find a community of people who are valuing the same things that you are, then you don't have to explain yourself to anyone. You don't have to defend yourself. So an action item you can take here is to attend luxury brand events, join exclusive clubs, to connect with peers who share your interest. And lastly, number 10, we've got planning for longevity. So thinking about long-term, how each luxury purchase fits into your financial future and your personal goals. It can be so easy to fall into the trap of like, I just want this because it's pretty and shiny and somebody told me that I needed it. And then when we dive deeper, we realize, oh, I don't really need that thing or want that thing in general. And I think that there's a very particular distinction between want and need, especially when it comes to luxury items. And I want to be very open and transparent here that, like, luxury is not a need. It's a want. And being able to bring luxury into your everyday life, even as someone who is maybe not to the, I don't know, income level that you desire, like, if you are not happy in your current financial status, you still get to bring luxury into your life. It's not only for people who are happy with their income, that are, like, sitting pretty, who are, like, you know, making tons of money. It's not only for those people. You deserve luxury experiences too. You deserve to have the things and the experiences that you desire. Like, and if that means you have to save up for a year where someone else may have only have to save up for 3 months, then that is going to be fulfilling for you in your own way. I wouldn't say more or less fulfilling than something else for someone else, but you get to have it too. That's so important. Like, you get to have this too. This is not just for people making $500,000 a year. So setting up a financial plan that includes your luxury purchases as part of your budget and your investment portfolio, like, it's an asset. Luxury items are assets. This is why people get insurance for their artwork, for their bags, for their furs, for all of these pieces, for their vintage cars. People get insurance for them because they are assets in their portfolios. They appreciate or at least maintain value. So it's important to treat them as such and to plan for longevity. So if you are considering stepping into this luxury spending world, I have to take a sip of my water. Understand that it's a part of a robust, holistic financial plan to invest in luxury things. Like, it's not for nothing, you know? People do it for a reason. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. I'd love to do another episode about this because I have a lot more to say about it. Because it's so important for a well-rounded financial strategy to not just be financially responsible. You know, like, you have to be financially responsible, so you have to invest in 401ks and you have to blah, blah, blah. I mean, yes, those things are important, but, like, other fun things like luxury stuff is important too, because it is an asset. Like, rich people, millionaires and billionaires diversify. They're not just invested in the stock market. They're not just invested in bonds and money markets and stuff like that. They're invested in furs and vintage vehicles and real estate and artwork and these things that we get to focus on when we're out of a fight or flight, when we're out of the survivalist mode, which I want to reiterate can be at any moment. Even when you're in survival mode, bringing in these little bits and pieces of creativity and the arts and things that fulfill us on a soul level. I know that you might be thinking, one day when I become rich, I can just frolic and paint and do my heart's soul desire and, like, bake all day and, you know, bake beautiful breads and pieces of things that fulfill me creatively. These are things that rich people get to do, right? They get to go and study art, they get to study writing and music, and they get to focus on things that the rest of us have never gotten to focus on because we've always been in a state of fight or flight, survival mode, working to live, never having more than enough. And I want this to be your sign that you get to bring that into your life right now. You get to bring luxury and arts and sciences and, like, astronomy, like, looking at the stars and artwork all day and painting and writing and reading and just developing yourself as a person is so accessible to you right now. Even if it's just in the form of buying a new book that's going to develop you personally, even if it has to be secondhand, even if it has to be from one of those little library things, those neighborhood libraries, those take a book, give a book kind of things. So that's really all I wanted to say. I love you so much. And if you loved this episode, please share it with a friend, post it on your stories, tag me when you do. I love you. I'll see you next week. Bye.